While you're standing, take your Bibles and go to Exodus chapter 34. Exodus 34. Exodus chapter 34. We're going to read verses 12 to 15. I'll read verse 12. You read verse 13 with me. But Exodus chapter 34 and verse number 12. Exodus 34 and 12. Take heed to thyself, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land whither thou goest, lest it be for a snare in the midst. But ye shall destroy their altars, break their images, and cut down their groves. For thou shalt worship no other god, for the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God. Lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and they go a-whoring after their gods, and do sacrifice unto their gods, and one call thee, and thou eat his sacrifice. And let's pray. Father, please help us this morning. I pray that, Lord, you would touch our hearts, strengthen us. Lord, please, we need your help. We need strength. We need your conviction. And so, Lord, help us, please. Thank you for your long-suffering, your patience. You're such a wonderful God. Please touch us and help us this morning. Amen. You can have a seat there. I wanted to show you something neat about your Bible. We'll come right back here to this. This is kind of like a side note, but I don't know how you view your Bible. But if you go to Genesis 12 and put your finger, go to Genesis 12. We'll come back here to Exodus a second. Genesis chapter 12, okay? Your finger there. Then go to Matthew 26. Keep your finger there at Genesis 12. Then go to Matthew chapter 26, okay? So you got your Bible just like that, right? Okay? Okay. Last place. Two places marked, and go to Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4. Murmuring, going, I think I am an odd. Great, he's probably going to give us six more references. Keep your finger there, keep your finger there, keep your finger there, keep your finger there. What do you want me to do? Cut them off and put them in my Bible? Okay, here we go. This is how your Bible view, right? Think with me just for a second. From Genesis 12 all the way to Matthew 26, God deals with one nation, Israel, okay? Then what happens in chapter 27, the crucifixion, right? Then God puts Israel on pause, and he does what? He deals with us, right? Then what is Revelation chapter 4 in your Bible? It's the rapture, right? And then God goes back to dealing with Israel until you get to chapter 9, okay? That is your Bible. If you knew that much about your Bible, okay, Genesis 12 to Matthew 26, God's dealing with one group of people. That doesn't mean I can't spiritually pull from it, but God's dealing with Israel, that much of your Bible. Then God takes a break because they reject him, right? Then God deals with us, right? Gives us the New Testament. And then at the rapture, what happened? Goes back to dealing with, okay? If that's all you knew about your Bible, that helps you rightly divide it, okay? Yes, it is a big book, but you ought to at least know that much about it. Amen? And I'll keep you posted. Now go back to Exodus, okay? You say, what's that have to do with the message? Nothing. It's just good. Amen? You'd be surprised how many people don't know what I just showed you. And because they don't know it, they get wrapped up in false doctrine. We study the Bible rightly divided because we're fundamental Bible-believing Baptists. Amen? We believe the Bible literally unless God says to spiritualize it, allegorize, metaphorically, or whatever. And every once in a while, those passages are there. But that's a very important thing to know about the book God gave us. And here you are in Exodus 34. I want to draw your attention. I don't know that I'm going to show you anything new this morning, but some truths that help me as a Christian. Look at verse 12. It's God says, take heed to yourself. So when we sin, it's nobody's fault but ours. Lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, whither thou goest, lest it be for a snare in the midst of thee. When you study the word covenant, it means a commitment. It means an agreement. Some have called it a testament. But God says, you need, if you don't make a covenant with me, you're going to make a covenant with wrong. You have a sin nature that is more easily pulled to wrong than right. And if you don't set boundaries with yourself and lock yourself into a commitment to me, you will go after other things, lest thou make a covenant or an agreement or a commitment or a testament with other things. Keep on going. Watch this. Look at verse number 13. But ye shall destroy their altars, break their images, and cut down their groves. There's a radicalness there. God says, and you know, if we aren't careful, we're going to say we're not idolatrous because we don't have statues. There's a lot of things that are idolatry in our lives. There's a lot of things to destroy. What's an idol? An idol is anything that comes before God for you. Have you seen how everybody worships their phone? I didn't say you do. I just said that's an idol that has to be dealt with as a Christian. Whatever comes between you and God is an idol. Whatever you choose to put before the Lord, whatever makes your decisions for you other than God, that is an idol. And God says, I want you to make a covenant so that you destroy and tear your idols down. If your idols are destroyed, it'll be because you decided they were wrong and you put them down. God doesn't destroy your idols. God judges you for idolatry, but God doesn't take your idols. You can stay with that little idol and that little snake as much as you want till it destroys your life. But if it is destroyed, it'll be because you, do you understand? God will let you have it as long as you want it. Look at verse number 15. Ready? It says here, lest, here it is again, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and they go a whoring after their gods, and do sacrifice unto their gods, notice small g, and one call thee, and thou eat of his sacrifice. And then he just goes on. He said, I want you to make a covenant with me. Take your Bible real quick, and now let me show you. I just want to reinforce this. 1 Samuel, go over to 1 Samuel chapter 12. 1 Samuel chapter 12. 1 Samuel chapter 12. Look at verse 20 and 21. 1 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 20 and 21. And Samuel said unto the people, fear not, ye have done all this wickedness. They asked them a king. Right? They rejected God and wanted, we want a king like everybody else has. It says here, yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart, semicolon, not a period. Now look at verse, 1 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 21. And turn ye not aside, watch, for then should ye go after vain things which cannot profit nor deliver, for they are vain. There's more to the message this morning, but God plainly tells us in his word, you either serve God and give yourself to the Lord, or you're going to give yourselves to things that don't matter. That's vain. What's vain? Nothing. You say, well, you're a preacher. You're supposed to think that. If you're a saved child of God, you're supposed to see your sin as something that needs to be controlled. So God says, make a covenant with me. Agree with me. Come, you say, well, I just don't know if I can. You're supposed to love God as much as you can love God, right? I think that's one of the most powerful verses in the Bible. God says, you either commit yourself to me or you're going to commit yourself to me. There's no such thing in the Christian life. What you learn is this. There's no such thing as, well, I got saved and I've grown and now I'm just standing idle. You learn in the Christian life, you're either shrinking spiritually or you're increasing, but there's no such thing as standing. You're either going, growing towards the Lord, or you're digressing, but you're not standing still. Well, I just don't know if I've made any progress in my life. You know, past couple years have been kind of a... So you've been backsliding for the past however long you want to say. I think the Bible's very specific, and it warns me, you better stay committed, because your sin nature will latch on to anything you don't give yourself to the Lord. That's a warning to me. That helps me as a child of God. This morning, why would you make a commitment with the Lord? I've told you it's because of your sin nature. It's because we're sinners. It's easier for us to do wrong than right, right? Then I need to make a covenant with God. He made a covenant with me and with you when he saved you. He says, I got a deal for you. You can take it or leave it. I'm not going to make you accept it. But if you want it, this is the bargain I'll give you. I'll make a commitment to you to do what? Watch this. Watch this. I first thought before I make a commitment with God, God's made a commitment with me. And I accepted that commitment when I trusted him as my Savior. Take your Bible and go to Psalm chapter 12. Psalm chapter 12. And in that covenant, I realize I'm trying to preach to saved people this thing. I'm not preaching to lost. If you're lost, I'm glad it's simple to get saved. I'm glad it's free. I'm glad it's a decision all you have to do is make. But I'm preaching this morning to saved people who've already trusted Jesus as their Savior and now, I hope, want to grow. Because everybody that's saved doesn't want to grow. What was the agreement God offered me? First one was this, Psalm 12, verse 6. It says here, the words of the Lord are pure words as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. So who keeps the word of God? God does. Who keeps it pure? How do I know this isn't oral tradition or passed down or tainted 95% the words of God and 5% the words of man? No, the word pure means without mixture. If you have a King James Bible, you have the pure words of God. If you have another Bible, you don't have the pure words of God. You have a Bible that's been satanically played with. Now, what's the promise? Here's the first promise. That covenant's based on the pure words of God. And God says, I'll make a deal with you. First part of the deal is, my word's always right and it's always pure. And count on, because I keep it that way. It's not your job.
Well, yeah, but how did it go from Hebrew to English and Greek to English and then, you know, with the Aramaic and Daniel and how'd that get to?
God said, let me worry about that. I'm the one that came up with the idea of language. I don't struggle going from one language to the other. You do. But God says, I don't. So the first part of the agreement I think is wonderful. This is my word and you can trust it always because it's from me. And it never changes. It's the only thing in your life that won't change. Tomorrow, many things could change. But this never changes because God keeps it. Amen? That's the first part. Here, watch this. Go to Psalm 119. You're in the book of Psalms. Go to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, 140. God says here, Psalm 119, 140. Psalm 119, 140. Thy word is very pure. Therefore, thy servant loveth it. If you have a King James Bible in your hand, it's very pure. There's no words of man. It's all the words of God because God kept it away. One more place. Go over to the next book, Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse number 5. I realize we could have just gone to Psalm 12, but it's wonderful to come to church, and when you leave church, the book you have in your hand determines your stability for the rest of it. I can build my life on God's word that never changes. Look at Psalm, Proverbs chapter 30, look at verse 5. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. How do you trust in the Lord? By trusting, I have the Word of God. I love this statement. I understand it went from Hebrew, Old Testament, to English, and Greek, New Testament, to English. But God's Word is so pure, and God handled the translation just fine. I preach the same Bible. The words that Jesus preached were pure, right? He quoted the Old Testament. He's given you, okay? If it was good enough for Jesus, I like that. It's good enough. Amen? It's the pure words of God. This agreement that God says, I'm going to offer you, it's based on my word that never changes. And I want to make a covenant. I'll make a covenant with you. It's not, all you have to do is accept it, right? So this is salvation and it begins with the Bible. Notice this, then where does it go? Go to now Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians in the New Testament. Ephesians chapter 2, okay? I hope these are common verses. I hope they're already outlined in your Bible. I hope they're marked. But it says, for by grace, 2:8, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not, verse 9, not of works, lest any man should boast. This agreement, God says, I want to make a deal with you, a covenant, a commitment, an agreement, a testament with you. All you have to do is accept it, and here it is. I want to save you by my grace. You can't do anything to earn it. You can't get baptized. You can't turn over a new leaf. You can't determine to do better. You can't. All you can do is accept it, and I want to save you by my grace. You not only haven't earned it yet, you'll never be able to earn it. For by grace are you saved. What's the part of this covenant? Salvation says, I'm saved by grace. God made a covenant with me that He would save me if I would accept Him because He died for my sin. That's grace, God's unmerited favor. This agreement that God says, I want to make a covenant with you. Next, go to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Go back just a few books. Romans chapter 12. And look at verse 3. Romans 12, 3. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. So God says, I want to save you by grace. Nothing you can do to earn it. You have to accept it. And the faith that I want you to put in it, I'll give to you. It's a gift, right? It says that in Romans 12, 3. God gives every man faith. Now, you can put that faith in anything you want. You can yourself, you can put it in a church, you can put it in money, you can put it in a business. Or God says, that faith that I give you, you can put back in me because I died for you. That is salvation, right? God's dealt. Everybody can believe. They just have not chosen to believe the Bible, right? But everybody has the faith that it takes to get saved. They've just chosen not to trust the book, right, that God wrote. So God says, I want to make an agreement with you. All you have to do is accept it. I'm going to save you by grace, and all you have to do is believe, and I'll give you the faith that it takes to believe. One more thing about this covenant that God made with me and God made with you when he saved you. Go to John 5:24. John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John 5:24. Watch this. John 5:24, and I realize for each one of these points, we could probably do about 8 or 10 more verses. I'm not trying to keep you very long. Amen. Just trying to keep you on a path. Look at verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. So God says, I want to make an agreement with a covenant. All you have to do is trust me. I'll give you the faith to believe. And then when you accept that covenant, I'm going to take you from a place of spiritual death and move you and translate you into a life to where you'll live forever from that point on. You used to be dead, but now will you accept? Do you remember the day you got saved? That was God making a covenant with you. If you believe him and his word, he'd save you forever. You were dead, you would live, and you would never die again spiritually, right? You'd have everlasting life. What a beautiful covenant, and God always keeps. Amen? I don't have to wonder how long this is true. It's true forever. It never changes. That's neat. Now, I have a thought. In our text back in Exodus, God says, you need to be careful that you don't make a covenant with things that are not of, because you're prone to idolatry. You're prone to leave me. You need to be careful. So I couldn't help but think when I read that, I thought, then you know, when I do wrong is when I get careless and I forgot to make a covenant with my God. The name of the sermon this morning is called My Covenant. I don't doubt his covenant. He's faithful, pure, he's good, he's dependable, he never changes. God's covenant with me when he saved me will never change because of who he is. But I think I need to make a covenant or a commitment or a testament to the Lord because of the commitment. What should that include? Since I'm the dwelling place of God, then I need to make a commitment to the Lord. Number one, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 18. 1 Corinthians 6, 18. Now, verse 20 is what I want you to notice, but just read verse 18, 19, 20. Ready? Follow along with me here. It just says, flee fornication, run from it. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. God doesn't say that about stealing. God doesn't say that about the sin of lying. God says the sin of fornication or sex outside of marriage is a very, there's no sin like it. It is a sin that causes sin against the body physically. So God classifies it. Look at verse number 19. What know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Since I'm the dwelling place of God, God made a covenant. He'd save me forever if I trust. It's based on his word, and that'll never chill glad. I'll never die and go to hell. But I need to make a commitment to the Lord that since I'm the dwelling place of God, I don't belong to.
Doesn't it say that? You're bought with a price, and you, if you're saved, you don't belong to. Unless you realize that, you'll live a selfish, self-centered, self-gratifying life. You've not made a covenant with the Lord back saying, okay, you're going to save me forever. Live inside of me. Buy me. Buy me. Purchase me with your blood. Then I'll make a covenant with you. Then I obviously belong to you. You're the dwelling place of God. You're saved. God lives inside. When you leave church this morning, you get to leave with God. Amen. You came here with Him. You'll leave with Him. He never leaves you nor forsakes you. Hebrews 13:5. Aren't you glad? Amen. And Christian, you aren't your own. Then you're not supposed to doing what you wanted. My covenant with the Lord said, well, you're a pastor. You're supposed to think that. There is nothing of what we've read that locks anything into a pastor only. I can turn this around and I should be able to, as a pastor, say, if you're saved, this is the way God wants all of us to think. Have you ever looked back at God and said, I'm going to commit to, I don't belong to, these aren't my hands, these aren't my feet, they're yours. You bought me. I'll never die and go to hell because of your covenant. I'm going to make a covenant with you can own. Have you ever made a covenant with the Lord that says, because of all that you've done for me, I'll never be do that. I can't match up with that. But I give myself back to you. I commit covenant. I agree. I promise. However you want to say the word covenant. I give, I don't belong to. Think about this. You cost God His Son. What would you, do you realize what that makes you worth to God? If He wanted to, He could, you know, bump you on the head or pull your chain. God doesn't do that, does He? You want to play in idolatry? You want to play with sin? You want to play in selfishness? You can do that as long as you want. But don't forget, praise the Lord for the Bible. You cost God's Son. That means you're worth what it cost God to buy you, right? A beautiful thought. You're worth God's Son. Precious if you're saved. And when God watches destroyers, God says, I wish you would make a covenant with the people of the land. You don't belong. How about this? What else would this covenant include? Since I'm the dwelling place of God, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. 2 Corinthians, you're in first. We went to 1 Corinthians. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Look at verse 5. Here's the next part of the covenant. I just tried to think, what agreements do I need to make with the Lord? You say, well, that's a nice spiritual thought. But didn't we read, don't spiritual commitment to God, you're going to backslide. You can't grow unless you do. It's because we have a sin nature that like pulling us this way, wrong all the time. No, you need to make a commitment to the Lord so that, amen, so the devil doesn't lead you to self-destruction. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and look at verse 5. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, watch this, and ourselves your servants. What's the next part of my covenant? The next part of my covenant, the first part is I don't belong to me. I belong to God. The next part of the covenant, the agreement is just here to serve. You say you're a pastor. You're supposed to say that if you're a saved child of God. You're here on this earth to serve. What does a servant do? Towel goes over the arm. How may I help? What do you need done? You're supposed to. Amen. That's part of my covenant with God. Since He made a covenant with me and all I had to do is trust Him and He saved me forever, I need to make a covenant with Him that I don't belong to myself. I'm here to do what God wants me. Because if I don't do what God wants me to do, the world and it's never. Amen. That's the second part of the covenant. I need to make a covenant with God. Have you ever told God, I'm here. This isn't my mouth. These are my eyes. This isn't my body. This isn't my hand. Where do you need me to go? What do you need? That's the second part of the covenant. How about this? Go to Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. I need to make a covenant with God because of the covenant He made. Aren't you glad that God says, I'll make a covenant with you? God never says, I'll make a covenant with you if you make a covenant with me. Aren't you glad God doesn't say that? You can be uncommitted as a Christian if you want. All you have to do to get saved from the fires of hell is place your faith in Christ and the blood He shed for you. He'll save you from the burning hell forever. Amen? God doesn't say, okay, now I'll commit to you. Now you commit to me. God doesn't do that. I'll commit to you if you believe in me, but I don't commit. What is our commitment compared to His? It's gross. Disaster. Look at Revelation 4:11, and you'll notice right after the rapture in chapter 4, it says here, watch this, look at verse 10. The 24 elders fall down before Him that sat on the throne and worship Him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, verse 11, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive Thy glory and honor. to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. What a verse. I need to make a covenant with God that I'm here. I belong to Him. I'm here to serve Him. I'm here to bring God. You say, once again, if you don't get, everything's fine to you, don't get specific, right? Because if you ask everybody, do you please God? Oh yeah, I please God. Because this is America, right? Everybody pleases God. Until you get specific. Does your music please the Lord? Does it make God happy? Or you? Do your friends please the Lord? The people you spend time with, are they glad Jesus is there? Really would. I'm not supposed to. I'm supposed to be here. I'll ask you again. Have you ever made a commitment with the Lord saying, from now on, I promise, I covenant, I agree, I commit to you. I belong to you. I'm your servant, and I'm here for you. I hear so many people say, well, what I've always wanted to do is, what's God always wanted you to do that you haven't done yet? You're here to make Him for His pleasure. We all, if you're saved, amen? But I hear so many people, well, you know, I got my bucket list. What's a bucket list? Well, you know, hopefully before I die, I get to do these things right here.
I think it's okay to set goals, but how many of your goals are godly oriented? How many of your goals are because it's what God wants you to do? And it would make God happy if you did those. That is a covenant. I realize there's several different ways you can preach this. What touched my heart is as I was reading, it was God saying, you either make a commitment or you're going to backslide. Monster. You know what it says in Psalm 73? I was as a beast. When I started seeing what I am, I'm an animal. And God says, you don't like that? Then make it with me because of what I've. Gratitude is the basis of the Christian. Lose your thankfulness, you've lost it all, right? Three parts to my covenant. I need to make a covenant with God, an agreement, a promise, a testament, a commitment to God that I belong to Him. I'm His servant. You know, beautiful. Somebody just told me 2 weeks ago, they said, you really got me thinking. You said, we start out a fish. Then when you get saved, you become a what? A sheep. And then if you want to grow, you start studying and learning your Bible and you become a student, right? And then you start witnessing for the Lord and you enter the battle and you become a soldier. And then what's the final pier of the Christian life? Jesus said it's the highest calling. God measures your strength by how He can use you in other people's lives to help them. That's what determines strength, Christianity. God may do whatever He... And then also, here, I'm here to please the Lord. Now take your Bible and go to Romans chapter 12. Go back to, I know we've been there already, go to Romans chapter 12. Let's try to wrap this up. More verses here. Romans chapter 12. Watch this. Verse 1. I beseech you, therefore. What's the word beseech mean? It means I beg you.
Well, you see, this is the Apostle Paul writing the church that was in Rome there.
Is this the word of God or is it the word of Paul? It's the pure words of God, right? So is this Paul begging you? Or when you read this, is this God begging you? I beseech you. If you're saved, that's brethren. Therefore, brethren, if you're a brother or a sister in Christ, it's because God's your Father. And God, when you read His Word, is saying, I'm begging you to do what? Watch this. By the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Remember the God, I give myself to you. What do we do Christmas and give presents to each other? Just like you gave somebody a present, you present your body. God, you can have me. You present your body to God. I don't belong to just a servant. And the last part of the verse, beautiful to think about, which is your reasonable servant. God says, you ought to be thankful I'm willing to make a commitment because you don't keep your commitments. I do. God says that, right? God says, you aren't faithful. I'm faithful. You aren't dependable. I am. If anything, the fact that I'm willing to accept whatever you give me, it's reasonable because of what? The covenant I've already made with you, that my word is true, that you'll never die and go to hell. I've saved you and made you my child forever. And it's anything you want to do because of that. You say, what's the opposite? You ever meet people that like, what do we got to do for the Lord now? Missions conference. I know, they just want more money. It's your reason. Soul winning clinic. Great. One more time, we got to go to church. If you aren't careful, you'll lose sight of it. You lose your gratitude. And God says, I'm willing to accept your. You ought to be thankful. I'm willing to deal anything. Two totally different, right? Two different levels. We're dirt, He's holy, right? It's your reason to give yourself to the Lord. How about this? To give myself to the Lord is reasonable And now go to John 14:15. John 14:15. I hope this is marked in your Bibles. You can go back and look at it later. Part of my covenant with the Lord should include me deciding I'm going to love Him. Did you know you can love God? Oh, God love. Did you know God doesn't make a condition for salvation? Okay, I'll save you if you'll love me. Aren't you glad? All of that comes after He makes the covenant with you. I promised you, based on my word, I'll save you in never dying hell. You'll be with me forever, cleansed and washed in the blood of the Lamb, based on the faith that I give you. And everything after that. Wow. Jesus said in John 14:15, part of my covenant with the Lord should be. You say this is kind of a New Year's sermon. Kinda. Although I think it might work 4 or 5 times in a year. Amen. Not just New Year's. But when do you make a covenant or a promise with the Lord? I'm going to. Once again, ask anybody. You love God? Oh yeah, I love God. Of course. Everybody does. How much? If I ask this, when was the last time if you love someone, wouldn't telling them be part of that? Right? Well, they know. I know. That's the way most people take it. Well, they know. I don't have. If I love God, Christian, could you covenant with the Lord and know what? I'll never love you like you, but my heavenly Father. Have you ever said, I love? If you love God, right? That should be part of the covenant, because you say, I don't know if you're making too big of this. Didn't Jesus say it's the greatest commandment? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, and soul, and strength. And that's the first commandment. Everything else hangs off of that, and loving your neighbor as yourself. If you could just love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as much as you love you, man, you don't need the rest of the 613 commandments that He gives us in the Old Testament. All you got to do is focus on two. Well, why don't I focus on one? If I loved God and worked at it, giving God everything I had, I'm talking loving God with all I can, watch how many problems in my life. Have you ever made a covenant with God? Okay. Have you ever told God you don't love Him? Here, let's take this further. Have you ever thanked God He loves you, don't love Him? I call that being real with God. Have you ever said, Lord, I don't love you like I should, but thank you for loving me when I don't love you? Because nothing can take you out of the love of God, right? Nothing can separate you. Romans 8:37-39. Nothing can separate you from that love. Have you ever thanked God for that? Lord, my backsliding and Lord, my sinful heart and my I can't thank you that nothing separates from your love. You never. I think it could start there and then go into God, I love you. Let's my covenant with the Lord. Let's close with Ephesians 2:8-10. Ephesians 2:8-10. We've already read verses 8 and 9 this morning, but verse 10, I think, is just, I don't know how people argue, well, it's just the words of man, or man couldn't write a book like this. It's an amazing book. LSD definitely couldn't cause him to write a book like this. That's God's book. What a book. Look at verse 8. It says, we're saved by grace through faith, and that nothing not of yourselves is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Look at verse 10 and think about it. For we, those of us that are saved, are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Do you realize God saved you? The word ordained means that means before you were born and before you were saved, God had works for you to do before you die after you get saved. God, we are His workmanship created in Him. He's ordained us for good works. Have you ever asked yourself this? My covenant then should include, my covenant with the Lord should include, dear God, I'm not dead yet. Help me do what You saved me to do before I die. You get 70 years on, right? And if you might get a little more, amen? You have a lifetime to do what God saved you to do. And it wasn't just to, here we go, I'm glad you're here and I love everybody that's here. But coming to church is a small part of the big picture of what God saved you to. There's things God, if you'll give yourself to the Lord and if you'll make a covenant with the Lord, there's things God will show you. You're supposed to, you die. And the prayer of Paul was, dear God, don't let me die without doing what You saved me. Verse 10, Tim's powerful. This morning, I want to draw your attention to, first of all, when you got saved, that was God making a covenant with you. I'll save you forever. I'm so glad. He's faithful. His word is pure. Then God said, you better take heed to yourself. You don't make a covenant with the people of the land that'll lead you away from. If you don't make a covenant with me, a promise, and commit yourself, we'll go back. Be careful, Christian. I want to make a covenant, Lord. I need to in my Christian life. I've been saved 36 years. You ever heard of rededicate? I need to rededicate. Sometimes that might be what this sermon is, might be, but it's just a reminder. What have you promised? Have you ever promised anything because of His promise? That's the whole Christian. That's why we do what we do. Amen. Because of all that He... I hope this sermon is a help. And let's pray. Father, please use this, Lord, to make a covenant.